I remember the occasional and sometimes unhelpful attempted sympathy that came with the comment, "The days are long, but the years are short." So this is usually delivered with a knowing smile during a visibly challenging time with young children or infants. It's meant to suggest that you will look back on this time and it will all be wonderful and the daily annoyances will be forgiven and forgotten. And you're right, that's really the case, although the comment comes when it's least wanted. The sentiment is mostly true. But I'll point one thing from parenting that makes you aware of just how quickly the time goes, and that is the near miraculous development of a child's speech. Occasionally, a developmental switch flips, and grunts and coos morph into grammar and conjunctions, multisyllabic words in dependent clauses, an awareness of irregular verbs, and every once in a while, you are amazed at what your children can express, and more often than that, you're embarrassed. It goes quickly, so quickly. I remember the comment my uncle made on his son's, my cousin's speech delay. He said, "Now the trick is getting him to be quiet." So we learn speech, however we do, from listening, because parents and people talk to us. And so over time, we come to realize that the words we're hearing aren't just sounds, but concepts that we can use and rearrange to make meaning. But before we even understand what we're saying, we understand that someone is speaking to us. And this is how the reformer John Calvin understood God's accommodation in speaking to us. It was like a lisp a parent uses talking to a baby. He called it divine baby talk. We learn to talk to God because God talks to us. And that growth of speech in response, that's what the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer called prayer. So when he was considering the experiences that were necessary to teach young seminarians to pray, Bonhoeffer observed the child learns to speak because the parent speaks to the child. The child learns the language of the parent. And so we learn to speak because God has spoken and speaks to us. Repeating God's own words, we begin to pray. And that's how Jesus teaches his disciples. So if you have ever struggled with prayer, or you have no idea what's meant by prayer, but you have a vague sense of its importance, this sermon is for you. Because it's taken as a given that prayer is something we do as disciples of Jesus. And usually we think of it in very limited ways. It's asking God for help. But from the experience of the disciples, we find that we don't just learn prayer by osmosis, even by just being in a room like this among people who pray. The disciples at this point in the Gospel of Luke have been following Jesus for months, maybe even years. And they have some sense of the insufficiency of their lives of faith. Maybe there's a hidden part of themselves that's waking up, a dawning awareness of the presence of God, a yearning for something deeper, and they realize they need to respond. And they've recognized, too, that between all of the healing and the teaching and the miraculous appearance of the kingdom of God and the life of Jesus, there is one thing they don't often see Jesus do, and that is pray. Jesus retreats by himself to pray. So the disciples, they come to Jesus, they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And they have been watching and listening and learning for some time. And now seeing him praying in a certain place, they wonder if it's time for their inarticulate grunts and coos and longings to turn into words before God. Because they recognize what they know is not enough. They want to know more. They've realized what Bonhoeffer did, that we confuse wishing, hoping, sighing, lamenting, rejoicing, all of which the heart can certainly do on its own, with praying. But in so doing, we confuse earth and heaven, human beings and God. Praying certainly does not mean simply pouring out one's heart. It means rather finding the way to and speaking with God, whether the heart is full or empty. No one can do that on one's own. For that, one needs Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us to pray. Maybe there is no subject in faith that gives you more anxiety than prayer. Because I'm guessing, it's usually the case, most of us feel like we're really bad at it. C.S. Lewis said there's nothing worse than that feeling that it's time to pray. And the resistance you get from your wandering mind and the anxiety from that knowledge that you're just not doing it right, it's easier to give it up than to make a real effort. And so it's unhelpful to read all of the literature of faith and find that prayer is promoted as the primary path to God. And that is, if you want to deepen your understanding, your love, or your life of faith, it's the work of the Spirit through prayer that does it. The pastor and writer Eugene Peterson, when parishioners would come up to him and ask, "Teach me how to pray," he would say, "Come to worship." That's the first place we learn how to pray, alternatingly confessing and thinking, adoring and petitioning, talking to God. It's also where we learn the Lord's Prayer, which is what Jesus gives his disciples in answer to their request, their prayer, even, "Lord, teach us to pray." Notice that's a prayer. They're already doing it. The point of prayer is that the words we say turn into the words of God. So Jesus tells them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into the time of trial.'" If that sounds truncated to you, you're right. Our version of the Lord's Prayer comes from the Gospel of Matthew, which has a bit more to it. And it was this prayer that was formalized in some writings in the early church that has come down to us to what we know today as the Lord's Prayer. And in Matthew, too, it's read during the Sermon on the Mount in comparison with the loud and wordy and showy prayers of the pious people in the temple. Instead, Jesus says, just pray like this. In Luke, it's less the correction of a mistake and more the first lesson in school. "Lord, teach us to pray." This is what Jesus teaches, that we pray with God's own words, like a parent teaching a child, imitating, repeating, until the word of God becomes our own, reminding us who we are as children of God. We usually have a particular way of teaching things in church. We have Sunday school and a Bible study. We have special programs. We even hire a Christian education director. We all know that this has to do with teaching and learning. "Lord, teach us to pray" becomes, "Lord, teach us the appropriate format and curriculum so that we can know how to pray better and find meaningful results in our life of faith." We do our best. And as a church, we've been doing this for a long time. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, was so staunch in his belief in the importance of prayer and scripture reading that early in his ministry, he went around to almost every family in the parish around the city where he lived to find out what they thought about faith, and he was disappointed with what he discovered. He didn't even know the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of like us going out there and reading polls that show majority of Americans and even many church members can't name the four Gospels. These sorts of things have been concerns for a very long time. So Luther wanted to teach people. He came up with a catechism, a question and answer format that imparted doctrines of the faith, but it always follows the same structure: the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer. And this is how every catechism is organized. "Lord, teach us to pray." Now we learn. But that's not the end of it. That's the beginning. The point being, the things we typically learn aren't just ideas and facts about God. The point of prayer is that we learn who God is in our own lives. So Luther thought the Lord's Prayer could be the basis of all of our prayers, that each petition could grow into a larger understanding of what we could offer and receive before God. And so you can imagine the Lord's Prayer reconstrued to sound something like this: Father, God who is near and close to us as a parent and child, hallowed be your name. You are holy above all things, and we can only approach you through the grace of your Son and the presence of your Spirit and all the worship our feeble hearts can muster. Your kingdom come. We wish above all things that this world is what you envision, what you created it to be. We know that it is not. We know that we are a part of that mess, but we hold on to the hope that even in the darkness of hatred and violence and injustice and greed, that you are working for the restoration of all things through the grace of Jesus Christ, your Son, and his broken body, the church. Give us each day our daily bread. We ask that you would provide for us as you have always done, enough to satisfy us and not so much that we would think ourselves too great and above your help or our need of grace. As we pray this prayer, we know too that there are others that are deprived of their daily bread. And knowing in this creation there is always more to share, we ask that you provide for them, if only through our feeble efforts. Forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And that's a hard one. We don't always forgive everyone indebted to us, and that's our sin. We think too highly of ourselves, and if we judged our own lives by the same standards we judge others, we might be so hesitant to ask this, we would never even dare to say it. But we know in your redeeming and reconciling love that you have forgiven us by your grace and help, that we might forgive others with the borrowed compassion of your cross. And do not bring us to the time of trial. That's what it often feels like. Life is so full of challenges that we feel unequal to illness and loss, grief and struggle. We ask that you bring us through safely, or if not unscathed, at least welcomed into your arms on the other side of the cross. That's the Lord's Prayer. You can repeat Jesus' prayer 100 or 1,000 times, and maybe by the 1,000th time you realize there's a little more to it, that you've been praying all along and you didn't even know it, like something was growing from the roots in your soul you didn't even know were there. But that's not the end of it either. Because the point of prayer isn't just growth in prayer, it's growth in God, so that the things we say become the things we live. The point of prayer is living. Lord, teach us to pray becomes Lord, teach us to live in light of who you are, in light of what we will discover through our prayer. And so Jesus continues to teach the disciples for a long time, for the rest of his ministry, and in the end they come to a quiet place, a secluded olive grove. And Jesus, without prompting this time, tells them how to pray. He says to his disciples, pray that you do not come into the time of trial. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane in the scene before Jesus' arrest. And at this climax of his ministry, Jesus reminds the disciples something he told them long ago, how to pray. Because they would all face Gethsemane's in their own lives, tests and trials and insurmountable obstacles, and it would be the practiced prayer that would make all the difference. Jesus goes off by himself to pray in this instance too, and unlike before, we hear what he has to say. Jesus prays, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Maybe that's a bit more Matthew than Luke here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But it's not surprising to know that Jesus has prayed this prayer before, having taught some version of it to his disciples. At the point of his greatest distress and worry and fear, this is the word of Jesus, which in his mouth becomes God's word to us, and it becomes our own. When we pray with the words of Jesus, His prayer becomes ours so that we become his. So when the disciples ask, Lord, teach us to pray, they're asking, Lord, teach us to be as you are, speaking to us in the only way we can understand, as a parent to a child, as the eternal Father and the Word of the Son, as the God who has become flesh for us. Lord, teach us to pray. And he answers, so I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.